This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the Bing Crosby Show, transcribed from Hollywood.
Moonlight becomes you. It goes with your hand.
Taken from the French song, a song which is called Bolero. Very nice melody written by the very well-known French composer, Mr. Paul Durand.
I'll be forgiven if I get a little hooky again tonight. Matter of fact, I'm kind of hipped on the subject of books of literature lately. I'm increasingly appalled by the seeming lack of interest, the apathy that our young people today exhibit toward good books. In fact, toward reading of any kind. My attention has been recently called to some good books by the publication of a couple of the biographies. These biographies have only recently hit the stalls, and while they're about two widely contrasting personalities, they're about a couple of men who had quite a few aspects in common. And though they weren't exactly contemporaries, because they were born 30 years apart, they were really the first two men to achieve the status of what we now call bestsellers. These two biographies that I'm speaking of are about Sir Walter Scott, Alexander Dumas, two of the most incredibly productive writers in the history of literature. Sir Walter Scott was sort of a sensitive, aesthetic Scotsman whose life was dedicated to the lore and the tradition of the Highlands. Really, he was the first of the great historical novelists. I don't suppose many of our young people today have read Walter Scott. Not that they maybe in English lit, but I can tell you, I read him a lot when I was young. I read him fully. In fact, I won some sort of a merit badge for reciting his Lady of the Lake when I was a schoolboy. It was beautiful poetry, too, as I recall. It started out, the stag at eve had drunk his fill where danced the moon on Moonan Grill. And deep his midnight lair had made an old Glenarchy's hazel shade. When the sun, his beacon red, had kindled on Ben Boyd's head, the deep-mouthed bloodhound's heavy bay resounded up the rocky way. Really sings, doesn't it? Beautiful stuff. I'd like to go on, but I think I'm hung right there. But when the sun is deep and red, it's kindled on old Ben Borlick's head. Sounds like a song. Pretty rich sounding stuff, all right. You know, Scott's first big seller was The Lay of the Last Minstrel. It was followed by a veritable torrent of narrative poems and romantic novels and exciting tales of life on the Scottish border and his beloved healers. Things like Ivanhoe and Rob Roy. He wrote furiously, so well as Scott did, almost like there was no tomorrow. And his writings, of course, found an eager market. As I said before, he was one of the first best sellers, but because he was a very bad businessman, made very bad investments, and because he entertained lavishly and without stint in his authentic castle up in the Highlands, he found himself when he was really at the very peak of his popularity and productivity, he found himself deeply and hopelessly in debt. But with the integrity that characterized his whole life, he refused to win the bankruptcy. Rather than do that, he spent the last 6 years of his life, even though he was very sick and in unrelenting pain, he spent the last 6 years of his life writing and selling his works until every penny of his obligations was paid off. Even though the last of it not until sometime after his passing. He died penniless, of course, but he certainly left us a rich legacy of Scottish lore, Scottish literature. I take the other fellow, the other biography, is about a fellow who was quite a different stamp. Dumas, he was a gourmet, an expansive liver, florid, full of color, and bombastic. Like Scott, he wrote some of the most popular works of the 19th century. And like Scott also, he was tremendously prolific. Estimates of just how many books and plays he wrote vary, but I guess it's somewhere in between 500 to 600. Really, I don't know when he found the time, because he was a fabulous host, maintaining 2 or 3 different establishments in and about Paris, and the poor guy was constantly on the lam, pursued by creditors, bailiffs, discarded and disgruntled sweethearts. He covered quite a bit of the world, too, got around the country a lot. He toured Russia, wrote 7 volumes about the trip, and he was all over the Mediterranean, cruising around down there. He even landed in Sicily with Garibaldi and the famous Liberator. He was in robust, good health all his life. Somehow reading his biography, he reminds me of Hemingway, although Pop will have to write like mad from here on in to match the Dumas' volume. The fellow who wrote this biography, Andre Malraux, he says of him, Dumas was really a hero out of Dumas. He was strong as Porthos, as adroit as Dark Man, as generous as Edmund Dantès, a superb giant. He strode across the 19th century, literally breaking down doors with his shoulders. It's as impossible not to like him as it is not to read him. Although no one has read all of Dumas, this would be as implausible as writing it was. But most of mankind has read some part. Well, I certainly read some part. I certainly include in this part the Three Musketeers and the Count of Monte Cristo. I read them several times, I guess, and I want to tell you I extracted profit and entertainment from each experience. You know, I was trying to tell one of my fellows the other day about the Three Musketeers. I was trying to get him to read the books, and he punctured my enthusiasm by observing that he saw a little use in reading the books because he'd seen the picture. Funny thing about me, I've never seen the picturization of any great book which I've read and enjoyed, and I don't think I ever will, ever will want it. I read a good book and I like it. I have the principal characters clearly etched in my mind, what they think, look, and act like. For me, that is. No Hollywood casting is going to suffice. You know, I'm ashamed to admit it. This really is shameful, but I've never seen Gone with the Wind, although I know it's one of the great pictures of all time, but I just couldn't accept Vivian Leigh, an Englishwoman, superb actress, so she is, as the belle of the deep south. Scarlett McGable, certainly a fellow whose work I respect and admire, but whom I know almost as well as my several brothers, just ain't old Red Butler to me. I see him too often around Bel Air 3 or 4 times a week. I found these people in a book, and that's where they have to remain for me. Well, look, I've
certainly got deep to it somehow. And then I started out talking about the biographies of Dumas and Sir Walter Scott, and I wind up in the picture business. The point I was seeking to make is that these two gentlemen wrote some great things, and I was hopeful that if I belabored the point enough, maybe my appeal would fall on some receptive young ears, and some of the younger gentry would seek out some of the books by these great men, and if they read them, they'd be grateful to me for the suggestion. If they do read them, they'll find it's really no short of the actual entertainment. Here's a song called The River. This is an Italian song that some enterprising fellow over here put some American legs to. It's rather an unusual tune, and an unusual arrangement, too.
Is people, helping people, join and serve.
Listen While You Work. Every weekday, too, on the CBS Radio Network. Stay tuned for the